This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. Before I chat to you, I see Alina Maharaj has sent us a photo. She says, good morning, Howard and team. I arrived from holiday, back from holiday in India a few weeks ago. I only opened this little memento during the weekend, and I was struck by the color of this candle. The orange reminded me of the Bibas family, a beautiful candle in very, very strong orange. Alina Maharaj, thank you for sending us that. Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Feels like a spring has sprung just about here in Israel. And of course, we're moving into the month of Nisan on Sunday, which also for our Muslim listeners means Eid al-Fitr, the end of Ramadan, and the festival of Eid al-Fitr. We are told that Muslims have been told to look out for the new moon on Saturday in order to get ready for Eid, which we expect will be already on Sunday. And it also means that tonight Israel will move on to its summer clock. And yes, so we will put our clocks forward by 1 hour, starting from 2 a.m. tomorrow morning. Those of you who have friends, business associates in Israel, remember that from now until the end of October, we will have the 1 hour time difference between ourselves. Two little snippets that I wanted to start with your permission, Howard.
Sure.
The first of which is the name Bruce Pearl. It's a name that very few people would know about, but I would encourage people to get to know Bruce Pearl. Bruce Pearl in 1965 was that pitcher playing for the LA Dodgers who had been selected for the World Series first game and decided not to pitch for the LA Dodgers in that very, very important game because the game was held on Yom Kippur. And Bruce Pearl is Jewish, and even though he is not religiously observant, it was important for him to make that statement and say, I will not pitch on Yom Kippur, even though this is the World Series first game, and even though I am a pick as the pitcher for the LA Dodgers. Fast forward to 2025, and Bruce Pearl is now the basketball coach at Auburn University in Alabama for the men's basketball team. And the Auburn Tigers had a very, very successful game against Creighton University where they won their game, a game that was highly televised and very widely watched. And when Bruce Pearl was interviewed after the game, he decided first and foremost to mention Edan Alexander, a 19-year-old Israeli-American who is held as a hostage in Gaza. And what he said was that we need to remind the world that Edan Alexander is still held as a hostage in Gaza right now. Bring the hostages home. Those were the words of Bruce Pearl when he was given a massive platform to use with all the sport-watching public in the United States tuned in to watch this great game. And he used that platform to make the statement. And he did it extremely elegantly because what he did was he used the name of Edan Alexander, who for the American public would be perfectly acceptable. He's an American citizen who's being held as a hostage in Gaza. But he used that little elegant segue to bring the issue of the hostages to the attention of the watching public. And if only other American Jews might choose to do the same, just to bring this issue to the fore, to bring it to the attention of the public. There are so many Jewish personalities who have platforms, who have an opportunity to make public statements about this, and for one reason or another choose not to do so. So my extreme respect goes out to Bruce Pearl, not only for what he did in the past, for standing up for his Jewish ancestry, but for what he's doing right now with that massive platform. And it kind of ties in quite neatly with some of the words that were said by President Isaac Herzog yesterday when he addressed a meeting during what has been termed Anti-Semitism Awareness Week. Now, my question is, do we need an awareness week to make us aware of anti-Semitism?
Yeah.
Isn't every week Anti-Semitism Awareness Week? Are we not aware of it all the time? But to the president's credit, he used the opportunity to talk about Jewish unity and how important Jewish unity is. I hope that his words were heard, not only outside of Israel, where I think there has been a certain level of Jewish unity in the aftermath of the events of October the 7th, but hopefully also within Israel, because unfortunately what's happening within Israel continues to be a story of Jewish disunity, and in particular a government that seems to be working to create this lack of unity amongst us. And no matter what one thinks about the government and its policies and how they've operated during the course of this war and even beyond, it is my view that unfortunately individuals within the government, and I'm not talking about government policy right now, I think there are individuals within the government who are actively working to create a lack of unity, to create a divide and rule situation. And this for us is detrimental and extremely damaging. And I hope that they would have heeded the words of President Herzog when he called upon the Jewish world to come together. He said Jewish unity is not just an idea. It is a living, breathing force. We feel it most deeply when we stand together and demand the immediate release of our hostages.
Absolutely amazing and so true. Let's talk about the protests that are happening in Gaza against Hamas. They seem to be gathering pace. Is that correct?
I think it's correct. And I'm cautious, I'm very, very cautious about jumping to extreme conclusions because I am so aware of the fake news and the angles at which are being used to report on events within Gaza. And we've seen Al Jazeera take these same protests, which we believe are anti-Hamas protests, and we've seen the placards demanding the removal of Hamas, and we've heard the chants demanding the removal of Hamas from Gaza. And yet Al Jazeera seems to be able to take its own clips on exactly the same scenes and exactly the same protests and somehow turn it into a protest against Israel and a protest where Gazan residents are demanding that Israel stop the war and Israel get out of Gaza. And it just depends on which sound bites you choose to use for your broadcast and which part of the placard you choose to show and which people and how they're behaving. You can take exactly the same experience and the same incident and report it in two different ways. But my belief is that there is now a certain groundswell of anti-Hamas feeling coming out of Gaza. And I think that it is, I can attribute it to two or three different reasons why it is happening now, as opposed to at any time in the past. Because let's be honest, the people in Gaza have been suffering from some time ago already, from back in October, November of last year, when the IDF really began its serious attacks on Gaza in order to try to secure the release of our hostages and in order to bring down the terror infrastructure that had been constructed over decades in Gaza. The civilians in Gaza have not had a fun time since then. Many of them have been displaced from their homes. They've been moved from place to place. We see even in the current days that the IDF is moving large swathes of population from one part of the Gaza Strip to another. Why? Because Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad are choosing to fire missiles towards Israel even during the course of yesterday, from right within areas where civilians are located. And in order for the IDF to be able to attack those locations, and in order for the IDF to be able to destroy the infrastructure that is being used to threaten our innocent civilians, they have decided in their wisdom to move the civilians away from that area before they attack those areas in order to destroy that infrastructure. And that means that unfortunately the civilians will be displaced, and it is extremely inconvenient, and they're being moved from one place to another, because as soon as the civilians move to a different place, Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad and other terrorist organizations within Gaza choose to embed themselves within those civilian areas in order to somehow to protect themselves. And so as a result of that, the IDF is left with one of three alternatives. Alternative number one is turn a blind eye and allow this to go on. That doesn't seem to be a realistic alternative. Alternative number two is attack those launch sites without consideration for the civilians who happen to be in the area. So that's an alternative, which is a real alternative. And many countries around the world and many armies around the world would do that. The alternative number three is what the IDF has chosen to do, which is to ask the civilians to move, to get them to move pretty quickly as possible, and then attack those launch sites. Of course, you lose the element of surprise. Potentially, those launch sites could be moved around, because many times these launch sites are actually on mobile vehicles. And so as a result of that, the civilians of Gaza are extremely inconvenienced through the moves, and they are now finally attaching this to the actions of Hamas. I think it's also related to the squeeze that Israel has been putting on the Gaza Strip, denying them electricity and denying them food supplies that will make their lives very easy, and denying them other things to try to somehow put a press on the Gaza Strip. And I need to emphasize that there are food resources in Gaza, but of course, all the while that new food is not coming in to the Gaza Strip, it puts a lot of pressure and price squeeze and everything else that you could imagine on the supplies that are in Gaza. I think the third thing, which is really important, is that over the last two or three weeks, the IDF has been extremely successful in taking out many of the senior leaders of Hamas, including, we understand yesterday, the spokesman of Hamas, who was apparently taken out in an IDF raid. And as a result of that, it seems as if the Hamas ability to control the actions of the civilian population have been severely depleted. And this allows the civilians to come out in protest without fear of any repercussions for their actions, because it seems as if though Hamas has been significantly weakened over the last few weeks. That's at least my impression. And those are the reasons why I think that these protests are now gathering some pace. And I hope they continue to gather some pace, because there is nothing that would be better for Israel than some sort of an uprising from within Gaza against the Hamas leadership. So we will continue, of course, to keep an eye on that over the coming days and weeks.
And yeah, I'm just trying to see if we've got we do have a little bit more time. The Knesset has been in session all night to discuss a bill to reform the Judicial Appointment Bill. What does this all mean?
Well, this is really something that goes back to the whole judicial reforms that were being touted before the war broke out. And the judicial reforms that were being proposed back then was a whole swathe of different changes to our judicial system. And the judicial reform bill was kind of put on hold when the war broke out, and the protest movement then moved into a different movie of protesting about matters related to the war rather than to the judicial reform, which was really their first main issue that the huge protests were being made about. Now the government has chosen, under the cloud of this war, to somehow pursue one element of the judicial reform bill, which is a change to the makeup of the Judicial Selection Committee. Now, What I would like to say about this is that there may well be full justification to change the makeup of the Judicial Selection Committee. One of the comments that's being made is that judges shouldn't decide who the new judges will be. It almost sounds like creating jobs for the boys, people protecting themselves, and that there's an internal mechanism used to appoint new judges in the system. And I get that. I do get that. I think, however, that it is a very wrong move to try to sneak this one through the Knesset when we really have bigger fish to fry, when there are other issues on the agenda, when there's so many important things that people's attention is being diverted in a different direction, and try to sneak this under the radar. This is an important element of our democracy. This is something that should be changed only with broad approval and agreement across large swathes of Israeli society. We don't have a constitution. This is something that really should be embedded within a constitution. Trying to get it through the Knesset in this way, I think, is a little sneaky.
Anthony Reich, what do you think? 061-895-1019. Is it a bit sneaky? Is the timing poor? Is this a regrettable decision to pursue this at this time? Let me know what you think. 061-895-1019. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Wishing you a great weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll speak to you on Monday morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.